Broadcasting live.
It's America's longest running talk show on computers. It's Computer America, bringing you the biggest names in technology with guest interviews, new products, and your emails. Listen live at ComputerAmerica.com
on any device around the world.
Email the show at live at ComputerAmerica.com or find us on social media.
Be sure to check out our website for contests, giveaways, show notes, live video stream, podcasts, and more.
You're listening to Computer America.
Hello and welcome everyone into the Computer America Show. We are the nation's longest running, nationally syndicated radio talk show on computers and technology term podcast. Everyone, welcome into the program. Today on the show, we are doing computer and technology news, and we have a ton of different articles. Really everything that you want to know about the day's events. And, you know, like, honestly, today turned out to be a pretty good day for headlines. So we hope that you enjoy this segment. And of course, if you want to check out more of what we do, computeramerica.com. That's where you'll find everything: past shows, future shows, podcasts, reviews, articles, show notes, podcast, and, well, social media links. We can go ahead and head on over there, and you can find it right there. Now, of course, while you're there, be sure to check out everything that we have to offer. We have a, we should have a giveaway coming up. Maybe we'll start on the 1st. That sounds like a good, kind of cutoff for all of that. But everyone, in the meantime, sit back, relax. Why don't we go ahead and get started with computer and technology news brought to you by Computer America. So, I think that for our show today, we're going to, we have about 6 different articles, and let's start with the first one. Let's dispel some myths. And you may have heard that a particular music streaming site, Spotify in particular, doesn't really pay their artists that much. And, well, the answer is that obviously equating one listen to a song is not the same as one record sale. That was kind of the implication going into music streaming, and it was this idea that, you know, if people are listening to your music, they would have bought your album, and therefore, you know, that's if you're getting paid anything less than a full retail album, Spotify is ripping you off. Well, it's good to be in the top 0.0001% of Spotify artists. Check this out. Spotify paid 130 artists more than $5 million apiece last year. Yeah, 130. So what is that? $650 million directly to artists. That sounds pretty good. So Spotify has revealed it paid $7 billion to music industry rights holders last year, accounting for almost 25% of the industry's total revenues. Think about that. The entire industry of making music, recording music, sending music out, playing concerts, playing on the radio, selling to movies, just all of that. 25% of all of that came straight from Spotify. That's really impressive, and it goes to show just how popular Spotify has become for streaming music. Now, the news came in the company's Loud and Clear website, which was launched last year with the aim of increasing transparency around its payments. The streaming giant said 52,600 artists earned more than 10 grand from Spotify in 2021. Of those, 130 were paid more than $5 million apiece. It's pretty good. Spotify didn't name any of the artists involved, but its most streamed acts last year were Bad Bunny, Taylor Swift, BTS, Drake, and Justin Bieber, while the most streamed song was Olivia Rodrigo's Driver's License. Never even really heard of that. So, shows how much I am up on pop culture. But still, even so, Spotify's data provides some insights into how artists are faring in the streaming era, with earnings falling into the following brackets, saying that about $10,000 to $50,000, so anywhere in that range, you have about 36,000 artists. 50,000 to just under 100,000, 7,000 artists, 100,000 to 500,000, 7,300 artists, half a mil to a mil, you're looking at about 1,100 artists. A million to 2 million, about 600 artists. 2 to 5 million, you're looking at about 320 artists. And 5 million and above, you're looking at, well, about 130 artists. It's about 28% of those artists who earned more than $10,000 last year. Uploaded their own music to the likes of TuneCore, Ditto, DistroKid, and CD Baby, which means that they will have kept the bulk of their earnings. So there you go. And they even have here in the article a bunch of little fun tidbits, such as, you know, who had the most streamed songs. And yeah. They're saying that this is the same. The company counters that more than half of the 8 million artists on its database have uploaded fewer than 10 tracks. So they are quite early in their journey, or maybe doing it more as a hobby, which, you know, is about fair. And by the way, I said 0.001%. It's more like, as a result, 99.3% of artists on Spotify are generating less than $10,000 a year. He added that the number of artists generating more than 10,000 has risen by 10,000 in the last 12 months, and that the industry is half as top heavy and half as star concentrated as it was in the CD heyday. I think that's pretty obvious, you know. If you're a TV or movie star, unless you are AAA, I mean, heck, you're getting paid nowhere near what. Like, you can't say, "Oh, this person was in a movie," and also, not George Clooney. Robert Downey Jr. Robert Downey Jr. was, you know, paid $300 million to shoot 10 minutes of Iron Man. This other person in another movie in another franchise, well, they must be earning some kind of good money. You know, in all honesty, they may have made $20,000. They may have made $5,000 for that appearance. These industries, especially entertainment industries, are very, very, very top heavy. So for them to, you know, kind of pat themselves on the back that 99.3% of people definitely don't make any kind of serious money doing this. I guess that's something. So they said that this is the same argument promoted by the wider music industry, which claims more artists are making a living in the streaming era than any other time in history. Now, just kind of goes to show how many people were actually making a living doing this. It's a very, very small number. And yeah, it still is a small number. And the fact that it's like 10 times what it used to be kind of goes to show how much we're sold on this fantasy that, you know, being a successful artist, being a successful singer, being a successful, you know, whatever you may be, movie star, it's one in millions. It literally is one in millions. So we'll have to see. They also have a quote here saying that the rise of streaming has empowered more artists than ever from all backgrounds and eras to build new fan bases around the world and forge successful music careers. We'll have to wait and see. So anyways, those are some of the insights. If you like checking them out yourself, again, you can check out the website Loud and Clear. That is the transparency website of Spotify. So there you go. Okay, story number one. A lot of artists, I mean, I guess they're paying more and more people are getting heard. So, you know, what more can you ask for in that kind of industry? So from that one, let's go ahead and move over to what might be the biggest news story of the day. I have heard so much about Lapsus. Lapsus, you know, we did a story yesterday about them. They have penetrated multiple groups, you know, such as NVIDIA, Microsoft. They hit a personal identification third-party system. They hit a lot of companies, and they were so brazen. They went into public rooms on, I think it was WhatsApp, and publicized, "We are looking for people or contractors who have access to internal systems at these companies." And they listed pretty much every Fortune 50 company or multinational technology company. They said, "We're looking for access to these networks. If you have access, either again through being a contractor or being an employee, talk to us. We'll pay you money and we want in those systems." just like a job advert, you know, just like, hey, this is what, you know, looking for wooden pallets, you know, we'll pay $10 a piece. No, this is looking to hack multinational billion-dollar companies and steal crazy expensive trade secrets. Send us a message. You know, they were very brazen. And this just came out a couple of hours ago. This morning, when I was kind of checking out the headlines, no one had said, you know, well, they said that, you know, they may have identified a couple of them. No legal action had been taken. This is kind of what made me want to do a new segment today, in that Lapsus has, well, you know, the group known as Lapsus may be over with because Oxford teen accused of being multimillionaire cyber criminal. So they identified him, and I think they caught him. Like, that's really what it comes down to. So check this out. A 16-year-old from Oxford has been accused of being one of the leaders of the cybercrime gang Lapsus. The teenager, who is alleged to have amassed $14 million fortune from hacking, has been named by rival hackers and researchers. City of London police said they have arrested seven teenagers in relation to the gang, but will not say if he is one. The boy's father told BBC his family was concerned and was trying to keep him away from computers. Under his online moniker White or Breachbase, the teenager, who has autism, is said to, I don't know why they needed to throw that in there. real quick. Let's see. There we go. I don't know why they had to point out that he had autism. It's said to be behind the prolific Lapsus hacker crew, which is believed to be based in South America. Lapsus is relatively new, but has become one of the most talked about cybercrime gangs because they have breached major firms like Microsoft and others. There you go. So, the teenager, who can't be named for legal reasons, attends a special education school in Oxford. City of London police, seven people between the ages of 16 and 21 have been arrested in connection with investigation into a hacking group. There you go. They have all been released under investigation. Our inquiries remain ongoing. So there you go. Which honestly, like, put yourself in his mental state. It seems like they heard about hacking. They heard about, you know, maybe they had some kind of connections through Discord or, you know, WhatsApp or Telegram or one of these messaging sites. They got into certain Discord channels. Maybe they started talking about how to do this, who to target, you know, kind of how to get away with it. Well, although I guess they didn't listen too much on that part. They, you know, they took this to heart, and $14 million is not a small amount of money to get in such a short amount of time. Just imagine, you know, kind of where they're feeling. Heck, if you're $16 million and quote unquote made $14 million all by yourself, you're probably feeling pretty cocky. You know, you're feeling very invulnerable. But this seems to be, you know, kind of shows that they're not. So they mentioned that the boy's father told BBC, "I had never heard of any of this until recently. He's never talked about any hacking, but he is very good on computers and spends a lot of time on the computer. I always thought he was playing games. We're going to try to stop him from going on computers." There you go. So they mentioned that this kid was actually doxxed. The hackers revealed his name, address, and social media pictures. They also posted a biography of his hacking career, saying that after a few years, his net worth accumulated well over 300 Bitcoin. He now is affiliated with a wannabe ransomware group known as Lapsus, who has been extorting and hacking several organizations. So there you go. They mentioned that the Lapsus crew had gained notoriety in a short span of time due to a high-profile hacking of many targets, and its channel had grown to 47,000 subscribers on Telegram. Why Telegram even lets hackers have, you know, which are essentially criminals, read criminals, why criminals have very popular channels, I don't know, but still. They mentioned that a few of our members are a few of our members has a vacation until 33/2022. So, you know, about a week, we might be quiet for some time. Thank you for understanding. We will try to leak stuff ASAP. There you go. So they mentioned that little is known of the origins of the group. However, given that Lapsus initially initial activity is directed towards several organizations in Brazil, some researchers have speculated that the group is based in South America. Yeah, so I think a lot of their hacks, you know, they did get into some privilege systems. It was not as serious as it could have been. But at the same time, this kid's in a lot of trouble, assuming this is him. And by the way, treat them as adults. I think because he's 16, the UK has very strict, you know, what can be done when you're 16 versus what, you know, when you're 21. And also, like, I know that they mention autism. I feel like they shouldn't have in the article, but some special needs may need to be, you know, some special considerations may need to be taken for, you know, if he truly understood the ramifications of what he was doing. I would say absolutely. You know, this kid seemed very competent. He knew exactly what to do, how to do it. And after, you know, years on the computer, it's kind of hard not to know what you're, you know, what you're getting into. And again, it sounded like he was part of an organization and a group of people. Yeah, they should probably all be tried as adults. But there you go. Lapsus is potentially thwarted. Now, that doesn't mean that they caught everyone, but to catch seven people in the middle of London, I mean, who knew? Who could have guessed? So, with that, let's go ahead and, you know, actually, let's go hacking to hacking. And then we'll go a little bit social engineering, and then we'll wrap it up with Apple. But check this one out. Google. You know them. They run the internet. There you go. Google says it thwarted North Korean cyber attacks in early 2022. I like the story because of the awesome names that they gave the operations. So they mentioned that the Black Hatters reported. So the Black Hatters, and that means, you know, kind of unethical hackers, the people who, you know, are the bad guys. They reportedly targeted U.S. news media, IT, crypto, and financial technology industries, with evidence of their attack going back as far as January 4th. Though the threat analysis group notes that the organizations outside the U.S. could have been targeted as well. So, quote, "We suspect that these groups work for the same entity with a shared supply chain, hence the same exploit kit. It is possible that other North Korean government-backed attacks have access to the same exploit kit." So, what happened? Operation Dream Job targeted 250 people across 10 companies with fraudulent job offers from the likes of Disney and Oracle, and they used, you guessed it, Indeed and ZipRecruiter. Like kind of like fake emails and links, and it made it look like a very official Indeed or ZipRecruiter email. And if they clicked the link, it would launch a hidden iframe that would trigger the exploit. They also have Operation Apple Juice, and Juice is J-E-U-S, so Operation Apple Juice. On the other hand, targeted more than 85 users of cryptocurrency and fintech industries using the same exploit kit. They said that effort involved compromising at least two legitimate fintech company websites and hosting hidden iframes to serve the exploit kit to visitors. In other cases, we observe fake websites hosting iframes and pointing their visitors to the exploit kit. The kit initially served some heavily hidden JavaScript used to fingerprint the system, the target system. This script collected all available client information, and then is sent back to the exploitation server. If a set of unknown requirements were met, the client would be served a Chrome RCE exploit and some additional JavaScript. If the RCE was successful, the JavaScript would request the next stage of reference and essentially get access to sandbox mode, where it could do just about anything. So, you know, it would have worked, and I think that's why Google, in particular, thwarted it, was because Google was the only one that could have done it, because this was JavaScript running in the background of Chrome. Now, you may recall, JavaScript, Java in general, is being phased out, so this only would have affected older systems and people who had not updated. But yeah, very much known that it looks like North Korea was the one to have published these. Now, what this means, I mean, obviously, if they can directly point and say that this came from North Korea, then you have a diplomatic issue on your hands. Not so much a hacking one anymore, because you know the exploit, you know how they did it, you can patch it, you can fix it, you can move on with your life. But it does go to show that, even all the jokes aside about North Korea being backwards technologically wise, they're still a threat to a lot of companies, a lot of industries, and you got to watch out. And now, again, it's in the hands of diplomats at this point. So there you go. Now, the next story is also kind of funny. So the FBI, you know them, you type the wrong thing into, let's say, Google, and hey, they're going to monitor you for the next 6 months. FBI trolls Russian embassy with geo-targeted ads for disgruntled spies. So again, this is another story of essentially using the service as it was intended. The FBI have decided to geo-target Russia in particular, or the embassies in different parts of the world, including the Russian embassy in Washington, D.C., you have to be in close proximity to the Russian embassy to see these ads. And they say they appear in Russian on Facebook, Twitter, and Google. One ad appeared in a Washington Post reporter's Facebook feed when he was standing on the sidewalk next to the embassy walls on Wisconsin Avenue Northwest, but none appeared in his feed when he crossed the street. Saying, quote, "It's a brilliant recruiting strategy because I think there's probably a lot of folks within the Russian government that are incredibly dissatisfied with the war, and therefore it's a great opportunity to see if those dissatisfied people would help us understand Putin's intentions better." So you can even see here, if you're watching the video portion, and well, if you can read Russian, you can read it right there. So they said that the Facebook ad that appears at the Russian embassy shows, a couple of Russian foreign intelligence service and obviously Putin. The text over the image says, "Speak plainly." The ad recalls a series of tense moments from one of Putin's televised meetings in the buildup to the war, during which he repeatedly interrupted his intelligence officer and pressed him to speak plainly when spy chief stumbled over his words. At the bottom of the image, he says, "Speak plainly, we are ready to listen." Essentially saying, well, come, talk to the FBI, come to us, and we will hear you out. So, yep. So Lapp told the Post that the ads were probably have Russian counterintelligence officials working overtime to determine whether any of the country's spies or diplomats visited those sites. Russian counterintelligence officers are currently in an all-hands-on-deck mode to make sure their folks don't stray and that they are keeping an eye on their own officers to make sure that no one goes rogue. This is a lot like, I'm sure back in World War II, I'm sure that they spread, kind of propaganda and flyers and posters and stuff like that to the enemy forces, saying that, hey, it's so great over here. You should defect. You should talk to us. I know that Ukraine, in particular, with this most recent conflict, has been encouraging people that if you turn in, let's say, a Russian tank, you could be eligible for Ukrainian citizenship, a couple million dollars. And hey, we get a tank. So propaganda and, be it flyers, posters, Facebook ads, Twitter ads, Google ads, whatever it may be, it's nothing new. It's just very funny that they are able to hyper geo locate it to just the Russian embassy. Like across the street, no ad. On the proper side of the street, you get an ad. Very funny and kind of a clever use of ads. So there you have it. I think the last story that we're going to cover is a rumor, I'll admit, but Apple rumors are always fun. Check this one out. Apple is reportedly planning, maybe, quite possibly, could be, who knows? Apple is reportedly planning an iPhone hardware subscription service. That's right. So obviously their iPhones and other devices have become increasingly expensive, and the company may be using alternative sales models to help soften the blow. They say that Bloomberg sources claim Apple is developing a subscription service for the iPhone and other hardware. So akin to the iPhone upgrade program, you'd pay a monthly fee rather than an upfront cost or financed installments. You'd likely manage the subscription through your Apple account. Full details on what would be included weren't available as of the writing, but the service would include regular upgrades and launch in either late 2022 or early 2023. Pricing is also unknown, but the current program requires $35 or more per month to get both yearly iPhone upgrades and continuous Apple Care Plus coverage. So clearly, Apple's not going to respond to something that is a rumor, something that could be, you know, just a possibility, but it makes a lot of sense. And honestly, the refurbished iPhone market is, you know, just as big as the iPhone market itself. Like the secondhand smartphones, stuff like that, is something that I'm sure Apple, you know, wants to get a better grip on. Because, hey, what's better than selling an iPhone once? Well, it's selling an iPhone twice. And I'm sure that Apple would love to do that. So everyone, that's about it for today's segment. We hope that you enjoy that. There were some great news stories in there. And yeah, if you want to find out more, computeramerica.com. We'll have links to all the articles, all the source material, if you want to check it out yourself. But yeah, be sure to tune in tomorrow. Every Friday, we have Ralph Bond, the one, the only, the man with a mission, our science and tech trends correspondent guru. And yeah, we're looking forward to that. And until then, computeramerica.com, twitch.tv/computeramerica. Everyone, have a great day. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.